gives women a high profile, which is fun for us, and he really emphasizes their role in the life and ministry of Jesus. So we'll see that intertwined throughout Luke. And more than any other gospel, Luke emphasizes the universal scope of the gospel, that it is for everyone. He portrayed Jesus as the Son of Man, whereas like John did, the Son of God. He was rejected by Israel and then offered to the world. So our title of our book, Jesus, Savior of the World, is really the perfect name for it, because that's the theme that Luke has for us. So there's just a little bit about the gospel. I read had a really fun time in a commentary that had a lot of application, and he suggested that just as Luke wrote the gospel very carefully so it would be very accurate, for us today we're not going to write the gospel, but our lives portray the gospel. And so we need to accurately portray Jesus, and our walk needs to match our talk in order to do that. So we can learn from Luke in that way. So we come, as Terry said, to a very long passage, two chapters with a lot of verses. And so I hope that you were able to read them all, because obviously there's no way I can cover it unless you want me to stay up here for 4 hours. I don't think anyone wants that. But what I wanted to do this morning, we're going to do it differently probably each week. I want to paint a broad spectrum of the two chapters, because it's the beginning of our Luke study and it's the beginning of Jesus' life. Luke gives more details than any other gospel on the birth of Christ and his early childhood. Still not nearly as much as we would like, but I have decided to kind of look at this few two chapters as sort of a play with a cast of characters and then little scenes or little vignettes of each major event. And so I want you to go back with me to that first century, and as a play or a movie would do, we're going to spotlight a vignette and then we're going to go to another one and just see what we learn about the characters, their response to the message that they get, and then how can we apply that to our life. And so I really want us to think, who do you identify with in the story as I teach it and as you've read it, and what does God want you to do with that after we get done today? So our cast of characters for our play are basically Zechariah, Elizabeth, John, Mary, Joseph, some shepherds, Gabriel, the angel, a whole bunch of angels, Simeon, Anna, and then, of course, Jesus. But one of the main characters, and if I was writing this special guest star, you know, appearing, would be the Holy Spirit. He is so prevalent in this whole story, much more than I realized before I studied this. And you know what really hit me, I think, for the first time, is how the Trinity is so obvious in this. You look for verses on the Trinity, there's not a lot of them, and I've looked for them in Paul's letters, but all of a sudden just hit me, here it is, God the Father is sending his Son Jesus, and throughout almost every character, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, or they speak from the Holy Spirit, or he speaks to them. So the Trinity is just kind of really out there in this Christmas story, and I had never seen that before. So you can learn new things, and that's what we hope to do this morning. So a play or a story begins with a historical setting, or, as I read to my little granddaughters, once upon a time, in the days of Herod the king. Herod was called Herod the Great, and he lived from around, it says, 330, or reigned 37 B.C. to 4 B.C. At first I thought it was 4 A.D., and I thought, how could he end before Jesus was born? But Jesus wasn't actually born in zero, so which is, there's some debate on that, but we don't need to go into that. So, at the time of Herod the Great, we are going to come to our first vignette. So I want you to picture an older couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were righteous people. They obeyed God. They followed all his commandments. Zacharias was a priest and served at the temple. They were a wonderful couple, but they had one sad thing in their life, and they had no child, and they were past childbearing age. And it was Zechariah's turn to go to the temple to offer sacrifice for the people's sins. And it's so interesting that at that moment, God sent the angel Gabriel to him right when he was making sacrifice for sins. And I thought, how appropriate, because John, eventually, his whole message was repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, of course, when he's making this sacrifice and an angel appears to him, he's a little bit startled, isn't he? And you have to remember, God has pretty been silent for almost 400 years since the end of the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, he bursts into the world through the angel Gabriel. And Kent used to always say this, what does angels always have to say when they appear to people? Don't be afraid, right? Because they're always afraid. Your prayers have been heard, Gabriel said to Zacharias. You will have a son, and you will call his name John. How exciting. He must have been thrilled, and yet he had some doubt. And he reminded me of Sarah when she told she would have a child past childbearing ages. And in his case, because he didn't believe, he was struck dumb and came out, and people realized something had happened. And maybe God needed him to be quiet for a while so he could just listen and see God work. Do you think sometimes we need that? Maybe we should be struck dumb so we could really listen sometimes. Well, Elizabeth did become pregnant, and she rejoiced in that. So the application I want us to think of from their story is that here are two righteous people. They weren't barren because of their sin. It's a lesson that God's timing is often so different than ours, isn't it? We have disappointments. Some of you have wanted children a lot and had to wait a long time. There's a lot of things you want, healing. We want a lot of things to change in our time, and it doesn't happen. And it isn't necessarily because we're sinning. It's because it's not God's time. And it seems not fair when we've served him faithfully and obeyed what he's doing, and when it looks like other people get their prayers answered. I've been struggling that with my mom. She's been in a nursing home for about a year now. And we so want God to take her to heaven. And we don't understand why he doesn't, but it isn't his timing yet. And so this was a good lesson for me. God's timing is his, but he will do it. And we can learn he will fulfill his purpose, and he will fulfill his plan in his timing. And I hope that that actually can give us hope this morning, that if you're in a place where God, your timing is a lot different than God's, that you can just trust him as Zacharias and Elizabeth did. John the Baptist, at that point, the angel told Zacharias some of the things that he would be like. And when he heard that, he thought, this is worth waiting for. And I thought of Anne. Anne had quite a few miscarriages before Taylor was born. And I'm thinking, he's such an amazing kid. Taylor Storm was worth waiting for. And John was worth waiting for. And some of the things that the angel told him is that he wouldn't drink any alcohol. And listen to this, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here comes our Holy Spirit into our story, even from his mother's womb. And that's amazing. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this is a quote from the Old Testament, from the last book of the Bible, Malachi, from the last chapter and the last verse. And I thought that was really interesting. It is now being fulfilled, but it took 400 years. Talk about waiting for God's timing. God sent a forerunner to announce his coming Messiah. So we leave them for a little while, and we go to our next scene. And this is, the characters are Mary and the angel Gabriel, and again, the Holy Spirit. And I want to read this little vignette. It is so beautiful. I can't say it any better. And it's a story you know, but I love it. And it's chapter 1, verse 20. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And we saw this in the movie. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Can't imagine what that would be like. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said, of course, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, for I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, and this is the most amazing thing, and we have to, for putting ourselves in her place, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then Mary's beautiful response, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Isn't that a beautiful response? A young girl, a teenager, hearing this news and submitting to the Lord. Everyone responds different. Zechariah doubted. Mary submitted. And look at all the things she already was told about her son. That he would be great, the Son of the Most High. He'd be on the throne of his father David. There'd be no end to his kingdom. He'd be the Son of God. No wonder she needed to ponder these things in her heart. We can't imagine what that would be like to be told about the baby that we were carrying in our womb. So there's a sweet story. The next scene I want us to picture is Mary running with haste to go see her cousin Elizabeth. Think how excited she was that her old cousin was going to have a baby. Maybe Mary had prayed for her for a long time to have this baby. And so she was so thrilled to get there. And when Mary gets there and greets her cousin Elizabeth, the baby in her womb, John, said he leapt because he recognized his Lord and Savior. It's quite a story. So John was already filled with the Holy Spirit inside the womb. And then Elizabeth was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said to her young cousin, here's this little young girl saying, here is the mother of my Lord. So again, the Holy Spirit is revealing these amazing things. Supernatural things were happening all the time. And then Mary, as they talk, gave her beautiful response that we call the Magnificat. And it really shows her knowledge of God for our young teenage girl and working in the world. And you were to summarize this in your lesson, so I hope you did, because I'm not going to do that here. But a beautiful, beautiful response from Mary. And then Mary stayed 3 months with her cousin. And I think what an interesting time. A woman, an older woman past childbearing age, and a teenage virgin, both pregnant. I think that's funny. And they, Elizabeth probably mentored her. But you know, they were real people. They were real mothers. And they were probably talking about what was changing in their womb and what was happening. And it reminded me, I was at Rite Aid the other day waiting for a prescription. So I was just standing there. I found a book on pregnancy. It was this huge book. So I started opening it because most of you know my son Dave and his wife Carrie are expecting a baby. So I turned to see the baby at 15 weeks because that's about what they are. And it showed a picture of what the baby looked like already. And it already has fingernails and it's moving its hands and feet. And I started crying right there in the Rite Aid because it's just so amazing. But that was what was going on in Elizabeth and in Mary's womb. They were real moms. And amazing enough, Jesus was a baby or growing baby inside. Hard to comprehend that. So I would love to have known some of the things that went on with them, wouldn't you? So Mary leaves and John is born. And as Zacharias writes his name, that it will be John, his tongue is loosed. And he begins to praise God. And I thought so often when God answers our prayers, our response is praise. And we want it to be that. People recognized that something supernatural was going on when they saw him start talking. And they said, what kind of child is this going to be? And I love that part of the story. If we're thinking of it as a play, it's starting to anticipate some of the next scenes. What is going to happen? This child is going to be something really special. And Zechariah was filled with the Spirit again, and he prophesied some amazing things about the coming Messiah. How God keeps his promises. There's a whole other great study there of all the promises from the Old Testament. And then he says, and I have to do this. It's a little baby. He takes his baby, John. I can just picture him. And he holds him and he says, you, my son, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Think of saying that to your child, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. through the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Think of saying that to your child and knowing that it came from the Lord. And then John grew and became strong and lived in the desert. An application I would like us to think about this morning from the story of Zacharias is that he was a mature God follower, but you know what? He had more to learn. And many of you in this room this morning are mature believers. You've known the Lord for a long time. You know your Bible. But you know what? There's always more to learn. And I think it's so exciting when an older Christian learns something new from Scripture. So this is a lesson for us. We're never too old to learn something new. And I'm glad you guys are here studying. So let's keep growing together. Okay, now we go to the next little scene of our play, and that is the birth of Jesus. A well-known story. I memorized it when I was little. I think Linda actually gave it to us up front one time from memory. The characters of this little vignette are Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus, shepherds, and angels. This story is mentioned so casually that it's so understated and basically it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. How subtle, how just casual, for here is God entering the world through Jesus, and that's about what Luke says. But there was a great quote that I got that says, Jesus may be lying in an animal trough, but heaven is present at his birth. Isn't that a great quote? It wasn't just a simple little thing. And we see this as the angels come to the shepherds. First an angel comes and then a host come as they're tending their sheep on the hillsides of Bethlehem. I got to be there one night in the dark with the stars out and just could picture these shepherds out on those fields and a whole host of angels come. And of course they're afraid and the angels say, don't be afraid. Because I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. So again, Luke is saying, Jesus is for all the world. That's his theme. And the shepherds' response, they believed, and they made haste to go see Mary and Joseph and the baby. And when they'd seen him, their response was to glorify God and go tell all the people that they could. When we encounter Jesus, that should be one of our responses, I think. When we have encounters with him where he's done something for us, we want to go and praise him to other people. But another response sometimes when he's done something so special for us might be like Mary, and that is to treasure all these things and ponder them in our hearts. And there's a place for that too. Two responses. But as Mary was holding her baby, I was just thinking of her as a mom again, and looking it down at him, what was she thinking? Mary, did you know? She probably already realized that he wasn't really hers, that she was going to have to share him with the world. And as moms, when we love these dear babies, we know that someday they're not ours either. They're really the Lord's, and they're only given to us for a short time to care for. And I started getting emotional even looking at this little doll. So, maybe I'm pregnant. A miracle could happen. The humble birth of Jesus, I think, has another neat application for us, and that is that God is concerned about our lives personally, just us. He's not concerned about all the fanfare that goes on and all the things that the world says are so important for us to have. He cares just for us, as he did for our baby Jesus. What a good example. But the wonderful thing about our faith is that Jesus doesn't stay a baby. He now is seated at the right hand of God. And we're going to get to watch the whole story of his life as we study Luke. But back to our story. Jesus was circumcised on the sixth day and taken to the temple. They were a good Jewish family and did what they were supposed to do. And then we come to two more characters, our last two characters in our play this morning. And that is Simeon and Anna. Simeon was a devout man who was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit, again, had made known to him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. I thought that is so amazing. The Holy Spirit brought him to the temple at the exact time that Jesus and his parents were there. And he took Jesus in his arms and praised God and said some beautiful things. And this is one more thing I want to read to us. So if you want to look, this will be chapter 2, verse 29, starting in 29. And he says, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Again, Luke's theme for all people, the Gentiles and the Jewish nation. And then he goes on to say some other things about Jesus too, some more prophecies that I have written out on a piece of paper for you guys later. One more character we come to in our play, Anna, a prophetess, a widow for many, many years. It's possible she could be over 100 years old. And she had a ministry of prayer and worship and fasting. She got to see Jesus too, and she knew by the Holy Spirit that he was God, and she thanked God for him. And the story reminds me again of how much God uses a variety of people, even to old age. I really like that, because there's quite a few older people in this story, aren't there? And Simeon and Anna show us that God, we're never too old, it's never too late for us to minister to the Lord or have him minister unto us. So that's encouragement for some of us that are in our second half of life here. Think again of Mary. I want you to think of her hearing all these things about her child. We can't really imagine. This whole story that we've read today is just filled with the working of the Holy Spirit. He is, in many ways, the lead player of this little story. So we've already seen in the first two chapters so many miracles taking place. And just a last little snippet vignette is Jesus back in Nazareth. That's where he grew up. He became strong, it says, in the Spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Wouldn't you love that to be said about your child? What a beautiful thing. As you know, he went to the temple when he was 12, and he got lost from his parents, and they found him teaching and talking to the leaders in the temple, and people were astonished at his knowledge. But then it says he came home with his parents, and he was obedient to them. And that's a wonderful thing. Here's the Son of God, God himself, obedient to their parents. And again here it says his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She got to watch her son be born and grow up from birth to a young man. Wouldn't you, ladies, wouldn't we like more details? Like, what was his family like? How did he relate to his siblings? What did he do all those years? But God doesn't want to tell us that now. What would it be like to raise a son of God? I think Mary's going to be a great lady to talk to in heaven, isn't she? And maybe we can find out some of those details. But I wanted us to relate to any of the characters that each one of you may identify with one more than another, but especially Mary this morning, since we're all women. Think of her again as a young mom chosen by God for this amazing, amazing role. A young woman who could have questioned, who could have rebelled against being pregnant and not married, yet she was so responsive to God's plan for her, even though she didn't really understand it. And she rejoiced in the knowledge of God. A great example to us. Relating back to our video again, Mary, did you know? I think she was starting to get some clues of this little boy that was going to be the Savior of the world. But I'm sure she didn't know all, at all. And aren't we glad we don't know the future sometimes and know all of ourselves or even our children's lives? God reveals what we need to know. And his timing in our lives, we need to trust our personal lives as Mary needed to. We need to trust him in the lives of our children. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. But these people were real characters, and they had to do the same thing that we have to do. So as we close this morning, I just want us to think again, God uses ordinary people to perform the miraculous. And he can use us ordinary women here in this room to perform the miraculous. And so I want us to, as we leave this morning and go to our groups, think about how God has called you, how he's gifted you, and look for the miraculous in our lives so that we can share with the world around us. I put some paper on your that I want each one of you to have on your tables, and I just wrote down everything. I didn't have time to share it, but everything that I felt like I learned about Jesus just from these first two chapters. So when you have time, look that over, There's an amazing amount already from Luke 1 and 2, and we will continue on to keep learning those things. So let me just close in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for coming to earth as a baby for us. It's incomprehensible in some ways, Lord. It's a story we know so well and yet is the most amazing story. Thank you that you came for us, that you loved us that much, and that you lived and died for us. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us feel that love personally today, that we will look for the miraculous in our lives, the things that you do every day. And as women, Lord, we will ponder those in our heart. We will treasure them and store them up so that we can share them and that it would just give us comfort and encouragement, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.